As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm down to dunk.
And I'm down to dunk. I'm down to dunk. This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lindy Waters, and I'm down to dunk.
I'm Mike Muscala, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Kenneth Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to dunk.
Will you say this is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort?
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me, as always, on Wednesdays, my good friend Alex Spears. Alex, oh, what's up?
What's up, Andrew?
Oh, not much, man. How are you feeling? A little nervous about this Rockets game tonight? Do you feel like the boys are ready for this?
No. I saw the news that Jalen Green and KPJ were out, which is terrifying. Because, I mean, this might be one of the best defensive games they play all season.
Yeah.
If those two guys are out.
Yeah.
I don't even know who they're gonna sub into the starting lineup. I mean, obviously Eric Gordon will play, but I'm nervous now. I'm definitely nervous. I was already nervous about Şengün giving us like a triple double or something.
Yeah.
So that's still there.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at their. Okay. Maybe this makes me feel a little bit better. I mean, Jalen Green, I'm looking at cleaning the glass and looking at their on-off.
Mm-hmm.
KPJ and Jalen Green, they're -4 and -4.4.
Yeah.
But, like, there's guys that are more damaging to the team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm super nervous. Because especially two games in a row against them, it's hard to win two straight against anyone. In this league, Andrew. But if they do win two in a row, they get back to 500, which happens to be where the New Orleans Pelicans are.
Yeah.
The 10th seed.
I know.
So it's a big couple of days.
It is a big couple of days. They got to just show up. They just got to go take care of business. Like, they can't.
They can't dilly-dally.
They cannot dilly-dally. They cannot sleepwalk through this. Grape Ape in the chat. You did not miss the AMA. I'm doing an AMA on the Thunder Reddit page. I just posted it last night, but like it was supposed to be today. So they wanted me to post.
You're stirring up questions.
They wanted me to post last night just so that it would be up. And so I will be answering questions throughout the day on the Thunder Reddit page. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So go check that out. So did not miss it. There's a lot of unanswered questions there right now, so don't sweat it. I will get to those. Somebody definitely asked me about the Thunder showers in the locker room. I don't know anything about them. It was very weird. Okay.
You're in that little separate area.
Yeah.
In the fake locker room,
I mean,
right?
Even in the old locker room, like I never went back into the shower area.
Yeah, I guess that would be weird. I don't know how it's set up.
Like, the old locker room was just one giant room and, like...
One giant shower.
Just one giant shower. No, I mean, And so, like, you just go into that room. And this other one is, like, a much smaller version of that. So, but.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, go check it out. I'll be there. I'll be there all day. So, okay. The Thunder lost to the Warriors the other night. And the way that Mark Daigneault, after the game, discussed the way that they played was that they acted like there was a boogeyman in the closet.
Honestly, that may have been true, Andrew.
Yeah.
Because every time I watch Golden State, you're reminded of specifically those three guys, just how long they've played together and how obvious it is that they've played that long together when they're playing your team.
Yeah.
Just like absolutely dissecting the Thunder in the first half.
Yeah. They were really good. And the Thunder played like, oh my gosh, I used to watch you when I was in the fourth grade. You know?
Like, dude, I mean, I think all Thunder fans feel that way. Just like watching them, you've seen that it's so rare to see a team like this, especially in the modern NBA. Those three guys that we have watched now for a decade continue to haunt us over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It is real. The boogeyman's real, Andrew.
It's real. Mark said that they looked inside the closet, realized there was nothing in there, though.
And then,
and then started playing.
The emperor has no clothes. Interesting.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, the first half, I mean, it was really defensively. I mean, it wasn't going great offensively either, but defensively, there was just stuff that, you know, I love Aaron Wiggins.
Yeah.
He started. They are now 8-1.
Big bummer.
Huge bummer. He didn't have a great night. As one of the biggest Aaron Wiggins fans, he was not great. And particularly in that first quarter, there were two defensive plays. Like, their transition defense, after makes, usually is so good.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting back, and Draymond Green, of all people, is just like outpacing Aaron Wiggins to catch a bomb from whoever that. And then there was another play where Klay Thompson just flew by Aaron Wiggins, just brushed by him. No big deal.
Yep.
So that was disappointing. Their defensive performance in the first half, it just felt like the whole team was flat-footed.
Yeah. Just
almost every play. It kind of looked like the way other teams look when they play the Thunder and the Thunder have all their cutting going and everything's looking so crisp. It reminded me of that.
Yeah, I hadn't seen them play that poorly in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally got it together. But like after the first quarter, I mean, another like indicator of like, oh my gosh, things are not going very well. The Thunder took 5 threes in the first quarter. The Warriors took 14.
Yeah, so I looked this up because as close as that game got, and it was very exciting at the end, and you know, credit to the Thunder for making a run.
Yeah, they were in it.
It is so hard to win a game when the opposing team takes 47 three-pointers and you take 24.
Yeah.
And not only that, when the other team makes 20 threes and you do not.
Yeah.
I actually looked this up on StatHead. So in games this season where one team made at least 20 threes and the other team didn't, the teams who made 20 threes were 50-7. And in those 7 games, it's usually like, you know, one team hit 17 threes, one team hit 20 threes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this game, it was 20-11. I mean, just like a massive gap, a math gap, Andrew.
It was a math problem, definitely.
It was a huge math problem. And the fact that they even got close enough where you were starting to talk yourself into like, oh my gosh, are they going to win this?
Yeah.
That would have been a super impressive math equation that they had solved, because it's just really hard to do that when you're getting outscored 60-33 from three-point range.
Yeah, I mean, they lost by 8, and
they didn't. And the other thing is, like, they didn't out-rebound them. You know, it was 44-43.
Yeah,
they didn't get to the line more. It was 20 free throws.
Right.
So there wasn't anything else going on in this game to offset this huge math problem happening at the three-point range. And actually, I looked this up, Andrew. So they took 24 threes in this game. They took 18 threes in their last game.
Mm-hmm.
That is the two lowest totals of the season.
Yep.
Which happens to coincide with Lou Dort being out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, now that he's gone, it seems like a nice thing we can say about Dort is that even though he's streaky from three, he will at least take them. He will at least boost us up, because who else on this team is just willing to take significant number of threes? It's Isaiah Joe.
Yeah.
Isaiah Joe. Muscala doesn't really play enough to take that many, but he is willing.
Mm-hmm.
But then everyone else on this team, all the way up to Shea, Giddy, J-Dub. I mean, J-Will, actually.
J-Will as well. Yeah, he'll shoot it. He was
our sniper against the Warriors. But those three guys, somebody in that trio of J-Dub, Giddy, and Shea has to become a guy who's willing to take five threes a game.
Yeah.
Because if all those guys are playing on the court, it's just going to be so hard. Especially, I know there's some Thunder fans out there who are already, you know, cooking up trade ideas involving Lou Dort. Mm-hmm. Man, if you lost Lou Dort and didn't replace him with a high-volume three-point shooter, like, this team is going to be at a math disadvantage every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope it's J-Dub. He had a, in the fourth quarter, like 8 minutes left, he had what I thought was his first step-back three of the year. It wasn't. I looked it up. He had four.
Yeah,
but it was his first made one, mm-hmm. and it looked so good. And it was over Andrew Wiggins, who's a tall guy.
It was great.
Big wingspan, and he still made it and felt confident doing it. So I'm hopeful that J-Dub becomes that guy. But, you know, I would love in the second half of the season or post-All-Star break if they made that an emphasis for Shea, even if it resulted in worse outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for Shea to get back to where he's shooting consistently every night, 4 to 5 threes. Because if no one does it, it's going to be a long-term problem eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, I have my doubts about that.
Oh, Andrew, so we got to go get Grady Dick. We got to get Grady Dick.
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, Shea's taking, over the last 10 games, he's taken 2 threes per game. And he's making a lot. He's made 47% over the last 10 games.
Oh my gosh. So good.
I know.
So good. Take more.
I know. There's a lot of guys that are shooting well right now from three. There are 6 players shooting 39% or better over the last 10 games.
On the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how they've ended up close to being a top half 3-point percentage team.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, everyone's kind of chipping in and they're all taking, like, you know, 1 to 3 threes per game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in some ways that's sustainable for right now, because you can just keep throwing guys in, and JRE's going to come back and he'll probably be another one of those guys.
Yep.
But long term, both just for the math part, but also just to help Shea more. I mean, obviously, we know this team needs more shooting around Shea. I mean, we've seen what happens when you play him with guys like Isaiah Joe or Mike Muscala.
Yeah.
I want one of those guys, but as a core piece of this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. You want to try to name the 5 guys or the 6 guys that are shooting 39% or better?
39% or better. Kenrich.
Kenrich. Nope. 36% over the last 10 games.
Oh, over the last 10?
Yeah. Over the last
10. Oh, gosh. Well, you said Shea. Okay.
Yeah, Shea is 47.8%.
On the board. Isaiah Joe.
Isaiah Joe, 44.3%.
On the board. Moose has been better as of late.
Moose is 39.3%.
Okay. That's half of them.
Yep.
Wiggins?
Wiggs is shooting 35% over the last 10 games.
Man. Who else is there? I don't think Giddy is. I feel like he's been...
Giddy is... Over the last 10 games, he's 5 of 25 from 3. 20%.
That's not good.
Not good.
What's J-Dub's percentage over the last 10?
J-Dub is on the list, 39.3%.
That's exciting.
11 of
his,
28.
What'd you say?
11 of 28.
11 of 28. I was looking at his shooting splits, and he's up to 32% on catch and shoot.
Yeah.
Which still isn't good. Sorry if you can hear the game in the background. I just turned on the game. It's in the browser. We're going to rewatch it here. This is our version of playback.
That's right.
You're just going to hear the audio, though, through my microphone. We'll tell you what's going on. Don't worry.
Two more.
Trying to think of other guys on the team. Oh, Jay Will.
Jay Will is 6 of 9 in the last. Yeah. And he's played 7 in 7 of those games. He told me after the game, I asked him why he gets so juiced up after he makes a three. Because like he goes wild. Did you hear what his answer was?
No, what did he say?
He said that he learned from one of his blue teammates. One of his blue teammates would yell, go to half court and yell boom after he hit a three. And he really liked that. And so he decided that he was going to adopt that. I asked him, I said, who was the player? Who was your blue teammate? And he goes, well, he's not on the blue anymore. His name was Mike. I'm not sure what his last name was. So,
wow.
Shout out to Mike.
That was great timing. Mike came into his life just when he needed him.
Yep.
And now he's like, vanished.
Yeah, he gets crazy juiced up. All right, one more. Look,
I'm actually looking at a box score.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no guess because the possibilities that I haven't said are Baisley,
nope.
Usman Jang,
nope.
Trey Mann.
Nope. Maybe he's not on the box score.
Oh, Lou Dort.
Lou Dort, 40%.
Duh.
18 of 44. So just like volume-wise in the last 10 games of those six guys, 28 apiece for J-Dub and Mike Muscala, 44 for Dort, 61 for Isaiah Joe, 23 for Shea, and 9 for Jay Will.
Isaiah Joe, man, what a pickup. I mean,
yeah.
Imagine taking that guy off the team. Maybe they just would have played Lindy in his spot for this season. Mm-hmm. I don't think Lindy would have ended up getting these good of minutes. I mean, Isaiah Joe, like last night, or was that last night? That was on Monday played 25.
Yeah.
I don't know if Lindy was ever going to be playing 25 minutes a game.
Yeah. I mean, I think if, I mean, the things that Lindy has going for him is like he has better size than Isaiah Joe. But obviously they just think that Isaiah Joe's a level above him, you know.
Isaiah Joe dunked in that game.
He did sort dunk. Of. Yeah, it was kind of anytime he dunks, it's always kind of shocking.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, Isaiah Joe, very important and just makes me crave a high volume shooter even more.
Like yeah.
More. Give me more. Maybe we can develop one on the team. Maybe there's one, a future one that already exists on the team.
Yeah, you kind of hope it'd be a guy like J-Dub.
Yeah.
That would end up.
Because he's already so good off ball.
Yeah, he's great off ball. He's great on ball. He's just great.
He's just great.
That's where you look at the draft, at the upcoming draft, and there are players that fit that profile of what you're talking about. Like Brandon Miller is at the top of that list.
Yeah.
6'9 forward. Maybe losing to OU will like knock him down the draft board, you know, quite a bit so that the Thunder can take him at 9 or wherever they're going to end up.
Great point.
Grady Dick is the other one that mm-hmm. I would say fits that profile, 6'7".
Yeah, and I've heard somebody on Twitter, and I apologize, I don't remember who it was, they compared his shooting stats to guys like Desmond Bane
mm-hmm.
and I forget who the other, Corey Kispert,
mm-hmm.
like the big shooters of the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and just detailed how the variety of his three-point shots.
Yeah.
Like he does a lot of things from three. It's not like he's just a standstill three-point shooter.
No. Yeah.
And also some like encouraging discussions. It was, I don't remember if it was on Game Theory or not, but about his defense.
Yeah.
That it's gotten significantly better as the season's gone on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty physical, and I like him. I mean, if you're picking at 10, which is where the Thunder would be in the reverse standings right now, I think that's a fine pick. I mean, you look at the other guys that would be available at that spot,
yeah.
like a Jet Howard or Bryce Sensabaugh or...
More shooters. Just naming off shooters.
Yeah, like those guys are not really Thunder guys. Grady profiles as more of a Thunder guy to me than Jet or Sensaba. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know if defensively he brings in enough to the table to play him at the wing. But like Brandon Miller would probably be like the ideal guy if we're talking about a shooter. He's pretty good. He's pretty good. okay. So the Thunder overall, 13th in net rating in the league. They are 8th in defense, which is just such a wild stat.
And that's after Monday's game?
Yeah.
Wow.
8th in defense, without a rim protector, with the youngest team in the league, is just a wild stat. And it makes like preparing like for next year, I think you can go to some pretty wild places just based on that.
Oh, carefully, Andrew.
Based on that stat alone. Just like adding a rim protector and just like adding an entire summer for all these guys to get better.
Hey, talk about another guy who could potentially, I mean, I know, but he has as much potential as like J-Dub or anyone else on this roster of shooting a lot of threes. That's Chet Holmgren.
Yeah. That's another bomber, man. It's coming in.
Another. Yeah. I mean, the eighth in defense thing is pretty wild. You know, you saw some of the downside of their defensive strategies in that game against the Warriors.
Yeah.
Where, like, they were leaving Steph Curry at the three-point line so that they could pack the paint further, or they were leaving Klay Thompson at the three-point line and then having to recover to those guys. Actually, I looked up, and I don't, you know, I know this tracking data isn't, like, perfect, but the Warriors had 23 wide-open threes in that game. And it felt like it at various points of that game, where it's just like, I know we play a certain way, but the guys that you're trying to close out on are like literally the greatest shooters of all time.
Yeah.
Please just stay closer to them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's them starting small. I was just really curious to see, because I think they've been able to use that small ball lineup against traditional lineups, and it's been successful. Yeah. A lot of it just because Kenrich is who he is. But, you know, then you're going against Draymond Green and you're at center, and it's like, okay, they might be a little bit better at this than we are.
Now the question is, Şengün coming up, do you put Kenrich on him or do you start J-Will?
Oh, gosh. I would.
You got to prevent the triple double, Andrew.
I would,
because if he gets a triple double, it's going to be ugly.
I would go small and just spread out and just
attack him,
annihilate him on
every
drives.
Play.
Because he will get annihilated by this team on drives.
Yeah, there was like a fantasy basketball guy who had a thread about Şengün, and it was specifically the game when they were playing the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just talking about how, like, the Cavs could have attacked him every single time down the court and were, like, very lazy about it and didn't. And he showed all these clips. Like, every time they attacked him, like, good things were happening for the Cavs. I don't know why they didn't stick to it. It would be fun. It would be potentially gratifying to have your team just decide, hey, let's just do this nonstop until it doesn't work.
Yeah, I agree with that. Offensively, the Thunder are 19th in the league. They're actually tied with the Washington Wizards, which is not a phrase you want to be using.
That's not true. The Wizards are back, Andrew. I've got Wizard fever. They've won 6 in a row.
They have the same record as the Thunder. The exact same record as the Thunder.
Andrew, they're hot right now.
Yeah, they're playing. Yeah, they're playing well right now. They got Rui Hachimura off their back, and now they're free.
Addition by subtraction.
That's right.
Denny Avdia is having career numbers since Rui's been gone.
It's true. He's played really well. I don't know what to do about that. I don't expect it to continue, but it's pretty cool. You know.
It's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but having the eighth defense and 19th offense, way above any expectations I had for this season.
Oh yeah,
I mean, we were hoping, man, if they can get out of the bottom five in offense, that would be like a victory in and of itself. And then if they can just hover around top half defense, like that would be pretty impressive. I was talking to someone about how the season that the Magic are having is kind of what I thought the Thunder season was going to be like.
Yeah.
Where they're a clearly better team than they were last year, but then you look at their overall record, and it's like, oh, they're 11 games under 500. They're still the third worst team in the East. Even with their good recent play, they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of what I thought this season was going to be like.
Yeah, like Orlando's 25th in offense and 22nd in defense. That probably is closer to what I thought the Thunder would be.
Yeah. But on the other hand, Magic, I think they're like 15-6 or 15-11, something good, something above 500 in their last like significant chunk of the season. They only have to go 17-14, Andrew, to be a surprise team and hit 37
wow.
wins.
That feels like a big ask.
Mm-mm. It's not at all, actually.
In the last 15 games, they're 22nd in net rating, minus 1.7. They're 7-8.
Okay, so it's probably 15-11.
Yeah,
over the last 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the meanwhile, in the West, you unfortunately have had some separation with the Clippers, who I was really hoping for, and they were getting killed by the Bulls. And I was like, okay, now everything's starting to make sense because they lost to the Cavs. Now they're going to play the Bulls. Mm-hmm. They're finally playing the hard part of the schedule. And then they came back and the Bulls just disappointed me so much. So the Clippers are starting to separate themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
And then now you have like New Orleans and Dallas kind of falling back with us.
Dude, New Orleans is, they've lost 8 straight.
Yeah, 3-13 January. I mean, and they've got B.I. back.
It's bad.
And honestly, they looked perfectly normal against Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't look bad. It was a good game.
They're just playing Denver. Like, that's the tough thing. Denver. Is like they played the Bucks and they played Denver, like, that's their last two games. But they do lose to the Wizards. They lost a big one to the T-Wolves. They lost by 1 to the Nuggets just like a week ago. Lost to the Heat, lost to the Magic, lost to the Heat, lost to the Cavs. Like, their only wins in January are against the Wizards, Pistons, and Mavs. It's brutal, man. Like, just like one of these stretches, and like now they're in the play-in mix. Like, they're 10th right now.
I know. And the last time they were getting talked about on national pods was like, are they a contender?
I know.
Early December.
I know. Not right now. They've lost 9 in a row. It's really bad. But like the Clippers, just a couple weeks ago, we were like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen here? Are we going to get this a pick swap? Like, no, now they're 4th.
I know.
In the West.
Miserable.
Like, things can change really fast in the West. Even if the Thunder end up at 500 and they're sitting at like 8th or 9th here, like, you can't sell it. You just like can't like get too high or too low in this Western Conference, because it's all so tight. I mean, the Thunder are just a game and a half back of the Lakers, who have been playing better lately, but still dropping games. But like, if the Lakers or even they're tied with the Blazers, like, both those teams could pass the Thunder, or like the Thunder could pass Utah and New Orleans. Like, you just don't know. Like, we just have no clue how this is going to end up. And
so you're saying they need to make a trade at the deadline to solidify their position, make sure that they get into the plan.
They need to get Mason Plumlee is what they need to do.
Okay.
So
I'm down.
What
give
if
up
you...
the give up the Houston first.
Yeah.
For yeah. Mason Plumlee.
What would you do if you heard the Thunder traded for Mason Plumlee?
Talk myself into it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, okay, let's actually think this through. One, they're not going to get a first for Mason Plumlee. Okay.
Not
so let's assume
first.
It was like a more normal deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Where you're given like bays and maybe a second. Nice second.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Okay, you're doing that. I'm going to Charlotte's cap sheet right now. Yes, he's an expiring. Yeah, yeah. Who cares? Why not?
Yeah.
And although none of these deals work when I try to do them, I need a cap expert to explain this to me. So the Thunder are like $8 million below the luxury tax threshold.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right? Yes, they are. That's what Spotrac told me.
Yeah.
But when I try to do a deal like Bays for Mason Plumlee, that one actually might work. Money might be close enough. But I was trying to find a guy who makes like in the $10 to $12 million range where mm-hmm. you could trade Bays away, save the other team some money.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally on their luxury tax, which that wouldn't be Plumlee because Charlotte's not in the tax. And then you just get back a player who's expiring or whatever, and maybe you get something for the for doing that.
Yeah.
But they never work. None of these trades work when I try to do them, and I don't really understand why. But yeah, Mason Plumlee's only making $9 million.
Yeah.
He's kind of thundery, Andrew.
He's
kind of thundery.
He's pretty thundery. If they had, and I will just say this flat out, this is not gonna happen.
But
it will not happen.
But
just like period, the end. Where are the, let's see. Yeah, you could make this work. The Thunder do have a $10 million trade exception.
Oh, look at that.
From the Derek Favors deal that expires in October.
Yeah. But just taking them into that would push them over the luxury tax. I believe by like $1 million.
Yeah. I mean, they're not doing that. They're just not going to do it.
But it's something to think about though.
No, don't think about it.
Maybe think about it a little bit.
No.
So this is my thing, Andrew, they have some space below their luxury tax.
Mm-hmm.
They have some guys on the team that we, you know, if they get traded, we're not going to be heartbroken.
Who would be the guys that you would not be heartbroken?
I mean, honestly, it's probably a lot. If we're talking true heartbreak.
Really? Okay, well, like, start naming them.
All right. all these guys are cool.
Because I would disagree.
Okay? I'm just saying I wouldn't be heartbroken if they made a trade involving them.
Okay, well, go ahead and tell me who they are, because I would disagree. I think...
Really? You're going to be heartbroken over... You better get used to it, Andrew. You're about to get your heart broken then.
That's okay.
There's roster crunch coming, my friend.
Yeah, better to have your heart broken than never love at all or something like that, right?
Is
that
That's that... true. Bazley.
Yeah. Not heartbroken about that.
Yeah. Trey Mann.
A little heartbroken.
Not going to be heartbroken.
Are you out on Trey Mann now?
I'm not out on him. I'm just saying I wouldn't be, if they included him in a trade to do something interesting,
yeah,
I wouldn't go crazy about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same with Muscala.
Yeah, I'd be a little heartbroken about that.
I know. It's because you've talked to him personally.
It's true.
I'm just saying that there are contracts on this team that might be appealing to other teams. There are also young players on this team that might be appealing to other teams.
Yeah.
They're eventually going to have to trade some of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, they're going to have to make one decision between now and the draft on a player. And then they're going to have to, after next season, they're going to have to make some difficult decisions.
Which means that they're probably going to make more than one decision before this up, you know, next season.
Maybe. Maybe.
Because they could set themselves up to make, you don't want to like just wait and then you have four draft picks. You're trying to figure out what to do with all of them and all these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you could trade at the draft. You could trade at the deadline next year.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. When I was looking for somebody to hire for my team, I had to go to LinkedIn Jobs because you just don't know the quality of these candidates. And the good thing about LinkedIn Jobs, it kind of helps you filter through and find the best people. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals that you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/dunk. That's linkedin.com/dunk to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Just for some
reason. I know we talked about it last week, and I was more on the... I said that, you know, I'm just pretending, you know, to push your buttons a little bit to get you to defend. I'm now on that side, Andrew.
What
I'm
side?
On team trade now.
Trade what?
I'm on
what?
Team trade now.
Trade what?
Not like anything crazy. I mean, obviously we all agree if the perfect guy came along and it was the perfect deal, why not go? Like, when are you going to get that guy? You can't like pass up a perfect guy just because you might not be ready. So if that actually did happen, whoever it is.
Give me some examples. Like, I hate these conversations about like, if we could get the guy that's young, that's on this contract, that does this, and he does that, and he does this, and you just like name like the perfect player. It's like, yeah, cool. Who is it? I just need to know who it is.
I mean, there's no one obvious because this player, we wouldn't know that they were available right now.
Well, you can still give me the example.
Okay, Devin Vassell.
Yeah, that's what you and Mikele, like, what's up with you guys? Like, thinking, why would the Spurs do that?
Dude, I'm saying every single year there's a guy that is suddenly available that no one thought they were going to be available. I'm saying if that happened, and it happened to be a player that made sense with the Thunder, I would be happy for them to go do it because what is the, you're just, like, kind of hoping, like, no, we can't do this until 2024, so we're going to pass on this guy who fits perfectly. We got to wait till next summer. That's all I'm saying. Yes, it's all theoretical. I'm just getting that out of the way, Andrew, so we can discuss what we actually need to discuss. Which is...
I just would say, just like, enjoy the team that's in front of you. I think it's going to be mostly the team that you'll see next year.
Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Okay, because that means that you think Pressey's just going to waste $25 million in cap space. You think he's just going to say, I don't think I can do anything with that. I don't think I can figure out
the first step before that is like, what is the CBA? Like, what's going on with the new CBA?
That's not going to make their cap go down.
I'm not saying it's going to do anything to their cap space, but like, what are the rules? Like, is there potentially a hard cap? Because like, that would affect everything.
There's not going to be. If there's a hard cap, then we're not playing basketball next season. There's not going to be a season if there's a hard cap.
I don't think it's going to happen either, but I'm just saying, like, you have to wait to know the rules first.
I know, but they're going to know by this summer.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. But I I don't think they're going to waste it, but I don't think they're going to fill it with necessarily with like a player that is going to make a huge impact on the future of the team.
I think, here's what I think, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
These were some ideas brought up in the Discord. Some by me, some by others. I won't name any names.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get a guy who has a mid-size contract.
Mm-hmm. Do you have examples? Are you bringing examples?
Yes, I am going to have examples. Okay, I am good. Going to have examples. Okay,
good. Just because I'm not willing to have these conversations about theoretical players anymore.
I know. I'm telling you the qualities of them first.
Okay.
To suck you in. Okay. And then I will reveal who they are.
Okay.
Okay. Right. If you could get a guy who is on a mid-size contract, that helps you because if you want to make a trade for whatever star player becomes available, mm-hmm. okay, now you have more than just Lou Dort's contract because that's literally all they have right now
sure.
that can bolster the financials of a deal.
Either that or you cobble. You got to cobble things together.
Or you got to cobble. Sometimes the other team doesn't want you to cobble because now you're taking in like five Thunder players
yeah,
and you have to figure out what you're doing with your own roster.
And they okay. might not want to cobble.
They might not want to cobble. So if you could get a guy who is just on like a mid-sized contract that doesn't extend far out into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to affect your 2024 cap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if that person happens to also be young, where you could potentially play them the rest of this season, and maybe because they're getting more minutes now, you could potentially flip them in the summer for something, I would be open to a deal like that. Now, who are the names, Andrew?
All right. Give me the names.
Here they are. Number one. Mo Bamba.
No.
Now listen, Mo Bamba has $10 million this year and $10 million next year.
Yeah.
He's not playing for the Magic. Trade for
Red
Bamba.
Flag. Red flag.
Why? What's the flag?
He's not playing for the Magic.
No, that's a green flag. That's a green flag.
What's a green
that
flag?
That means that they're not doing enough to boost his value to make him valuable in trade discussions. He comes to OKC, you start giving him some minutes, whether he's good or not. Like, whether he affects the team good or not, who cares?
Yeah.
And that's a $10 million expiring contract that you now have for next season.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to, if he's not good, you don't have to play him.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out how can I get a $10 million contract or higher uh-huh. on this team for next season. So if they want to do a deal, they can. If they don't want to do a deal, it'll just expire and not affect the cap next summer.
Yeah. I'm more of a no Bamba on that one.
You're going to be no on all of these, and I don't care. I'm throwing them out there. I'm getting them out there to the people. I'm getting this information to the people so that they can start thinking about it, and then they'll start fighting you in your Twitter mentions.
Okay.
The next name, you'll notice a theme here with centers, James Wiseman. Now, we've talked about this one before. I think James Wiseman would satisfy everyone. I think it would be the most genius move the Thunder could make. Here's why, Andrew. You bring in James Wiseman. He's not good. We would agree.
He can't even get backup minutes for the Warriors. Like,
that's
no.
Right.
And
that's right.
And like their owner was obsessed with him.
Well, he's clearly not obsessed anymore. You bring him in, you play him big minutes. The team probably gets worse. So that satisfies the tank.
I mean, you can take away the probably word right there. The team
okay,
gets
so
worse.
Okay, so they get worse. So that satisfies the tanking crowd. Meanwhile, you're trading for a center, so you also have satisfied the win now crowd because they see, oh, we got a real center. Let's go. Meanwhile, he makes the team worse. So you've satisfied that crowd too.
Yeah.
You also satisfy my crowd, which is we just need to get more mid-sized contracts on this team that we could potentially flip later on. Cobbled together in deals, it's the perfect match.
What's the trade?
It satisfies everyone.
What's the trade?
Well, that's where it kind of all falls apart because yeah. I have no idea. What
you have to give them a win now player. Like it has to be. Kendrick.
I know that's why it doesn't work. It would need to be a three team deal because the thing is that he is the only real path for the Warriors to get better this season because of that contract. Because
yeah.
he's making $10 million or over.
Right.
If they traded him and don't get back a player that is a rotation player, then
yeah.
there's no point in them really doing it. They're not going to, even though they would save gobs of money
mm-hmm.
if they traded him,
yeah.
I don't think you can just do a Wiseman deal to save money.
What's his contract?
I think you have to get
into the trade
someone
exception?
Back. And for everyone out there screaming, Bays, I don't know if Bays would qualify as getting a rotation player back.
Oh, you can just say like it, he doesn't.
Like you wouldn't love to see Bays in the Warriors system.
Okay. Like if Bays can't play in the Thunder system, you think that dude is playing in the Warriors system? Ain't no way. Like that's not
maybe
for
they,
him.
Maybe they changed the system.
Yeah, they changed the system for Darius Bazley. It's a clutch move. You know, they're trying to get on clutch clients. No, not going to happen. Not happening. Like, if Bazley wants to make it in the league, he needs to go play for, like, the Mavericks, where it's just like, hey, stand still, play defense. Luka's going to score half of our points. Just, like, be a guy out there that just defends.
Be a guy.
Please.
Oh, okay. I know you just shot down both of those ideas, and that's fine. Here's what I'm going to say to you, Andrew. I think it's more likely that they make a move like that than it is that they don't bring in any mid-sized contracts from now until the start of next season.
The start of next season. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to do something with that space, and I'm just trying to come up with some ideas. I'm just trying to help out, and you're over there saying, no, Bamba. Shoot me down on everything.
Wiseman would fit into the trade exception, by the way.
Boom. Although, again, I think that might send us into the tax, but... we could figure that out. It wouldn't be that much. We just have to get off a little deal or something.
You would have to like pay a second rounder to somebody to take Bays.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the Warriors aren't trading Wiseman for nothing.
Right. Yeah, you have to.
So get even though he fits into the trade exception, like theoretically, you could just give the Warriors a first round pick, and you could take back James Wiseman.
Right, which that's why it needs to be a three-team deal where you're if you were sending like a bad first to someone,
yeah,
and then they were sending a rotation player to Golden State, and then Golden State was sending Wiseman.
Yeah, like what pick would you be willing to give them? Would you be willing to give like the 24 Utah pick to them? I would not, by the way. Maybe the 20. I wouldn't give the 25 Miami either. I just think James Wiseman stinks. So, like, I'm just out on that idea altogether.
And you should be excited about it then.
He's 20. He's 21. He is a giant. And, like, he could come here and be Moses Brown, you know.
Wow. That's high praise. Moses Brown put up historical numbers when he was in Oklahoma City.
He did.
Not seen since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. His lack of decision making though is just like that's he like the entry question for you to make it into the Thunder party is, hey.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I've actually been thinking about this, Andrew.
Yeah.
Do you remember how Serge Ibaka played when he was in Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I do.
You would say that he would not fit on this current Thunder team.
No, not a chance.
However, when he went to the Raptors, all of a sudden we started seeing Serge doing things that he had never done before. And he was suddenly playing in a way that maybe he could have played in this version of Thunder. So I'm just saying I get that decision-making is a major point for this team. I do wonder, though, if there are guys who you could bring into this system and like basically turn them into the Thunder player that you want them to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, Golden State did it with Wiggins. Like he has become
I know,
incredible.
But James Wiseman is on Golden State.
Yeah.
Like that's like there's like the flaw in like that specific player.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't think like Isaiah Joe's probably a better decision maker than people thought he would be. Not like he's like some great decision maker. But like he can do a little bit. He's got a little bit more juice than I thought he did with Philly, and some of that was like he just didn't get to play. Like he didn't get to touch the ball. Like it was just shooting only. And he's done a little bit more here. It's like I feel better about him definitely than I did. And I liked him. Like I was excited about the pickup whenever they signed him. I thought, "Oh, that's great. Like give him a shot." And he's been way better than I would have expected. But like Wiseman doesn't play for the Warriors because he's such a poor decision maker and because he's not a good defender. And so like he's failing the pretest, you know.
He is, but that is like the hardest you would only say about that or say that about him because he's in this specific situation. If he was on literally any other team, he would have been playing more minutes and probably would be a better player as a result. Like, he is in the worst case scenario for his career.
He was picked second. He was.
And that's their fault. That's not his fault.
He was picked second, and he cannot earn any minutes, like none.
But if they had done the right thing, let's say, and taken LaMelo too,
yeah,
and Wiseman goes to Charlotte,
yeah,
we would have a vastly different opinion of James Wiseman.
I'm right not now. Sure that's true.
See, I just don't think you can base that on going into that situation.
So you
situation.
Think James Wiseman is going to go to another team and like just suddenly become a starting center for somebody?
I'm saying I don't know that's the case. I cannot write him off, write off a 21-year-old because he went to the Warriors and couldn't get minutes. Because he went to the champions and couldn't get minutes. Yeah. Like, are you writing off Moses Moody already? He can't get minutes either.
I mean, it's not good. It's not a good sign.
No, it's a fine sign. They're playing for the champions.
How is it a fine sign?
So you think the Warriors should be playing three guys under the age of 22?
If they're any good, yeah. Like, Kuminga is like above the fray now. Like,
that was never going to happen, though. The champions, the literal champions, they just won the ring.
This was plan, though. Like, this was the plan. This was the Warriors' plan.
That's a bad plan. It has nothing to do with the players. Like, if you play three guys under the age of 22, you are going to be worse. Because we know that, like, young guys don't impact winning, most of them.
The Thunder are doing that, and they have, like, the same record as the Warriors.
I know, but they are set up completely different. We're talking about someone playing over like a Lou Dort or we don't have a center. If James Wiseman had been on this team randomly, he would have be getting minutes.
Dude, they play Anthony Lamb like significant minutes. They play their two-way guy. They play Ty Jerome. Like, Ty Jerome played a ton of minutes. Like, Ty Jerome couldn't even make this Thunder team. And they're like, yeah, Moses Moody, like, you are not as good as Ty Jerome. Sorry, bro. Sit. Like, you can't tell me that that's not a good, that, like, that's not a bad sign.
I mean, the Warriors are never going to play three guys under the age of 22.
It's Ty Jerome, man.
They were never going to do it.
Like, shouts to Ty Jerome. But, like, Ty Jerome is not a good NBA player.
I'm just saying that I cannot write off two guys simply because they're not getting minutes on the Warriors. Like, yeah, if they were playing in Houston and not getting minutes, that would that not concern you way more if James Wiseman is on the Rockets and can't get on the court?
Everybody gets on the court for the Rockets. Like,
that's what I'm
like,
saying.
Whatever.
Like, we're holding these guys to the highest bar possible. Like, why aren't you getting minutes on the Warriors as an under 22 guy?
But
why aren't you
like,
getting on the court with Draymond, Steph, and Clay? What's wrong with you?
It's just, but to me, it's just the fact that like they don't have depth. Like, the Warriors are like begging for depth. They use both their, I mean, Ty Jerome and Anthony Lamb are their two ways, and like they have been like key rotation players for them at times. And like the other guys were lottery picks. Like, Moody and Wiseman were like lottery picks. Like, those guys, I have high expectations for those guys. Like, I thought for sure Moses Moody, I mean, he played in the conference finals for them last year. I thought that for sure, if I were to bet, like, who's going to get more minutes, Moses Moody or Anthony Lamb before the season, if you were to, like, place a bet. I mean, I would have bet a lot of money that Moses Moody would be the guy over Anthony Lamb, where I'm like, I'm not positive I could pick Anthony Lamb out of a lineup, you know? And like, Moses Moody, lotto pick, like, shooter, like, pretty good ball handler, like, a guy that can do some stuff, just doesn't play for them. Like, it is, I am concerned about that for him. Like, I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand, you know, the playing of these two-way guys. Like, we know Ty Jerome's limitations, you know? Moody's bigger, he's stronger, but for whatever reason, they're given the nod to Ty Jerome. Like, I think it's okay to be concerned about that.
I mean, if you really want to be, I just
I don't want to be, I just am.
that wouldn't stop me from wanting. Like, I don't think when those guys get to the end of their contract, if they're not traded, that they are just going to vanish into nothing. Like,
no, like somebody,
they're going to
somebody
get another shot.
Yeah, somebody will give on them a another chance. Team. Somebody will give them a chance. I think this
has way more to do with Golden State's evaluation of players who fit with their squad than it, like Wiseman was never going to work on this team. Why was he going to work? How are you going to bring a 19-year-old into that Warrior system, ask them to play center, and expect that it's all just going to work out?
I mean, they had visions, man. Light years.
Yeah, they did have visions.
And they talked about it. Like they talked about it. Their management and ownership talked a lot about it, about the vision for all of that.
Oh, I know. And they were wrong. And we're now getting to the point where we're in like Jahlil Okafor territory, where if they don't trade him now, they're only going to continue to tank all these guys' values.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I could see a team like Houston making a deal for him.
You just want Houston to get all the young guys, Andrew. They're going to make all the deals that I want to make.
They can have all the young guys that are terrible. Sure. Have at it.
When the Şengün Wiseman front court is holding up the trophy, Andrew, in 2027.
Dude, if that happens, I will get Şengün on one cheek and James Wiseman on the other. If that happens.
Hey, he said it.
If that happens, I'll do it. If they're the two starters for the championship level Houston Rockets, like count on it. Book it.
And I want you to get I'm so happy.
I'm so happy as a tramp stamp. Yes.
Yes. Cool. Good.
Book it.
Anywho,
Do you have other names?
Well, actually, the one I wanted to bring up, which I don't really agree with this one, is so Thunder Focus on Twitter mentioned that James Hamm from Sacramento.
No Kings relation to John Hamm.
Talk,
by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always get nervous when I say James Hamm's name because it's so close to so many other people that have a similar name. I'm assuming he said this on his podcast. And James Hamm's pretty well respected within the Sacramento community.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time.
He says he has heard murmurs about Darius Bazley in reference to Sacramento Kings' potential trade targets, which I thought was really interesting because that's the only slop we're getting. You know, it's the only scuttlebutt they're going to give us during this time. And
that's not coming from Thunder, I can tell you that. Like, if the Kings are actually interested in him, like, that's weird.
I mean, sure. Anyways, I was looking and I was like, ooh, Rashawn Holmes would kind of fit into this as well, not as a young guy, but more as just a contract. The problem with Rashawn Holmes is that his contract goes two more years, and the final year is a player option.
Yeah.
So if he had just been through next year, I was trying to construct a deal where, okay, you get back Rashawn Holmes, you can play him, and maybe you could flip him as well, and then you have an expiring contract next year, but that's not how it works. So I kind of gave up on that one when I investigated a little bit more.
Maybe they could acquire KZ Apala again.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You look at the rest of their roster of guys you could switch out for Darius Bazley, and you don't get that excited about any of the options. So.
No, like
if this scuttlebutt is true, I don't think it's going to end in fireworks. I don't think Sabonis is coming home, Andrew.
No, like maybe Alex Len, who's expiring, he could bring him back.
Yeah, Alex Len.
Like if the Thunder get a second and Alex Len, sure. And then like
emergency pod, would you do emergency pod for that?
No, I would actually.
Oh, come on!
I would delete past podcasts of ours.
You delete past podcasts?
Yeah, just, it's like the inverse of an emergency pod. I just like delete our feed. Yeah, like Rashawn Holmes is interesting. He is 29 already, which is he's sneaky old.
He's very sneaky old. He was a process sixer way back in the day.
Yeah.
And he came in the league at 22. I had no idea he was 29. I would have guessed like 26.
Yeah, same. Yeah. He's a good player. He would legitimately help this Thunder team this year quite a bit.
It's just that his deal goes one more year than you really want it to.
It's too long. And it is a mid-sized contract, though.
It wouldn't be like the worst thing in the world.
No, it would not. It would eat into some of that cap space the Thunder would have this summer.
The other name, because I was just looking for like deals that teams might be wanting to get off of.
Yeah.
Yet it's a similar deal to Devontae Graham, who you assume the Pelicans want to get off of at some point.
Yeah.
Where it's like $12 million next year and then 12.6 the year after.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find deals in that range that could eat up your cap space in the meantime, especially if you're not ready to make a deal or if the deal doesn't present itself, where you still have a mid-sized contract, which you can then trade, cobble together whenever that deal becomes available.
Yeah. Like, let's That's say, like, Muscala was just, like, not on the team next year, you know?
Yeah, it's a team option.
You could just, like, straight up just, like, take Rashawn Holmes into space and send them, like a fake second back.
Yeah.
Just to help them out.
Because you're going to be having to sign Sabonis, and Harrison Barnes is expiring as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, they can – that – I wouldn't mind that as, like, a guy to spell Chet off the bench. Like, that would be – that's a fine deal. Like, that makes the Thunder, like, quite a bit better to have him as your backup center.
Am I expanding Andrew's mind? Andrew's getting ready.
Why is that the only one that I'm interested in? Like, this is like complete psycho behavior on my part. That like Rashawn Holmes is the one that's interesting.
Andrew wants to go all in for Rashawn Holmes.
I love guys who shoot floaters. I just love floaters. But then
he would fit in with the team in that way.
I know. It's the tough thing, and then I've got to go. It's like, there's already like limited minutes for Jay Will, who's played really well lately.
We didn't talk about him too much in the Golden State game, but that was his best game.
He was really good. And so for that reason alone, like, I wouldn't do this deal. Just because like Jeremiah's coming back, Jay Will is going to need minutes. Like, I'd rather just like see what Jay Will is, because he profiles as a guy. Like, if he had a career close to Rashawn Holmes, like, that would that's probably like his upside, is to be a player that's that good. And I'm sure people are like, what are you talking about? Like, he could be way better than Rashawn Holmes. Like, Rashawn Holmes is a good player. Like, he got a $11 million contract. If Jay Will could do that, that would be a big, big deal for this team. And so, like, I would rather just wait and see what he can do. Plus, like, Jay Will is just a delightful human being. And so I'd love for him to get a shot.
You're going to be so heartbroken, Andrew.
Dude, I would be heartbroken about Jay Will, honestly. I really like that
You're going to be heartbroken about any of these guys, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, like, the list of likable guys is pretty long. Like, Wiggins is great. Isaiah Joe is great. Jay Will is awesome.
Hey, Andrew, last question before you have to go.
Yeah.
There were a lot of Warriors fans in the crowd.
Yeah.
On Monday. Would you allow your sons to become Warriors fans?
Personally, no. But I also just don't care that as much as some people care about, like, Warriors fans being in the house. Like,
so if your son was walking around in a Draymond Green jersey that they got, that wouldn't make you a little prickly?
Oh, I said that I would not allow my kids to be Warriors fans, but, like, I don't really care that much about other people and their kids being Warriors fans. It's like, whatever. So, yeah. Would you let your kid... Would you like Cal be a Warriors fan?
Honestly, we're closer to the Warriors out here. I mean, he might be a Blazers fan. Who knows? I was a 49ers fan when I was like 8 because of Jerry Rice. And then he left, and I was like, why am I a Niners fan? I have no connection to this team at all. And that's what's going to happen with these Warriors fans. When Steph retires, they'll come back home. They'll switch allegiances.
Oh, man. All right. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. Hope you guys enjoy the game. Thunder better not lose this game tonight. It better not. Appreciate you guys listening. We'll talk to you guys again on Friday.